feelings are a bad indicator of truth. They're a bad indicator. But we treat feelings as if they are the word of God. Feelings are not a reliable indicator of what God is saying or doing. Ever. If you wake up in the morning and you feel nauseous, sick, and all the other stuff, you don't feel blessed. But you are. And you are because God said so, not because you feel blessed. Feelings that you're a failure can carry somebody their whole life and haunt them and ultimately make them live out what they feel if they don't check it. But feeling like a failure is not what made you a failure. Living like a failure is what made you a failure. Receiving the thoughts of failure make you a failure, not the feelings. Father's been really talking to me in this season about what are the first things that the enemy attacks when you believe in God for something? Your feelings. You ever try to believe God for anything that was beyond your ability to do in your own power? What is the first attack that comes at you? It's all emotional stuff. And because we give so much validity to it, we begin to act according to what that says, and we literally talk ourselves out of what God said. This is important for me at this season, and I'm really like walking through it on another level. And as we go into the new year, I'm sure God's going to really, really have me expound on this a lot more. But nothing that God has spoken over me, you, us, there's not a promise that God has made about your life that has not been met with a challenge. And the challenge is always, how do you feel about that? Do you think you have enough education for that? Do you think you have enough experience for that? Do you know? And you say, no, there are thoughts in my mind, but they all come down to how you feel. Has God really said? How you feel about that? You really think you are God? You really think that he said that because he was trying to protect you, or if he was trying to keep you from being the gods that you really could be and have the knowledge of good and evil? Like, how you feel about that? And once you think about it, then you make a choice. And in that rendering, your destiny is picked. Door number one, door number two is made at that moment. Listen close to what I'm saying, because it's real simple, but it's really, really profound if you look at it from the sit back of it. And if you get it, and if you really, really get it, it will change everything you do going forward. Every time you get a word from God or a word from the enemy, you are confronted with a choice. How do you feel about what you just heard? How do you feel about what you just saw? And once that begins to stew, it's a seed. It's a seed that's going to grow, and you don't have a choice. You only have a choice of which seed you pick to grow. It's important that I say this to you because, are you listening to me? God has shown me, as I've prayed for people, especially church folk, a lot of people believe that if they're neutral and they don't make a choice, they're not responsible anymore. I'm not going to say yes to it. I'm not going to say no to it. You see this in the Bible where they come to try to confront Jesus. And Jesus said, well, let me ask you this question. They thought about it. If we say that, then he's going to say this. If he says that, we don't know. So they figured by not answering, they were delivered from the responsibility of the question. The problem is if you don't answer by default, there's an answer. And that answer is usually what's in the really the root of your heart and your spirit. Because the enemy knows what you really believe by the things you normally say. So here's another scenario. People say, I received that in Jesus' name. I received that. Hallelujah. I received that in Jesus' name. And this time God says to me, no, they don't. They're saying what they need to say at this moment. But everything they do from this point on is going to verify their choice. The rest of their conversation when they're not saying what they're supposed to say is going to show their choice. And the manifestation is going to be not what they said in front of you, but what they act out according to the choice that they've made. Did I lose anybody? A little bit. I can tell when it's like there's that side that's eating it up and then there's that side that's going, yeah. God, give me a real simple explanation. Give me one of them preschool explanations that help everybody get it. I come to you. I offer you a job. You say, how much money? I tell you. Let's say the money meets your expectations. Now you have to consider how you feel about that offer. Now, based on common logic, your first thought would be, yeah, but you know, you told me what the job is and you told me how much it pays. And it's what I wanted to get paid. So where's the conflict? But there will be, won't it? How many hours are you going to work? It's, yeah, but what if it's this? Yeah, but how much traveling do I got to do? Yeah, well, you know, but I don't know if I really want to do that. I don't really know if that's what I really love to do. And all of a sudden, the processes of what you really believe start to speak louder than the decision you just said you made. So you go ahead, and people take the job, and they're not there for 3 weeks, and they're miserable. Because they said yes to it because the circumstance in front of them made them say yes. But their heart was never committed to what they said. And in a very short while, they begin to live out the misery that they already had going before they said yes or no. You're going to eventually live out of what's in your heart, not what you just say out of your mouth, out of positive confession. So when you work with people, how many of you ever work with a partner or somebody in business or somebody that you're working with on something on the job and you were gung-ho that this thing could happen and they were not? So you spend most of your time in on that process trying to convert them to your way of seeing it instead of getting the work done because you knew that this hindrance was going to eventually make something else live out that you didn't want to see lived out. So now you're drained away from going forward and doing what you want to do because you got to stop and keep trying to convert them every few seconds to what it is you're trying to get them to see. And eventually you come to the realization that their mind is made up for failure and there's nothing you can do about it and you got to cut them loose. And sometimes it takes you 10 years to figure that out. But you come to this realization, we're never going to walk down the same road. So now we just stepped into another level of it. Not only is your decision of your heart paramount to your success, the people you surround yourself with play a role in it. Now, I believe God called me to do it. Okay, yeah, but you can't surround yourself then with a bunch of people that don't see what you see. So here's the revelation I'm sharing here. I'm coming to the realization that thought process is much bigger than we give it credit for. the way we think and the way we really think about something, the way we really feel about something, the way we really, really feel about something has more power than what we confess in prayer. Unless what we confess in prayer changes how we think about it. Why would Jesus say, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave their philosophies. So, okay, cool. What men say is important. Who do you, the people who run with me, say that I am? Who are you, the company that I keep, say that I am? Who are you? Who do you say that I am? And if they are all saying something different, you got to start weeding them out. Because their thought process affects yours. So I want to start by asking everybody today, in your journey and your quest to see the manifestations of God's promises on your life, do you know what you really think about it? Not what you're supposed to say as a Christian, not what you're supposed to confess when you're around people that's going to confess good stuff. Have you ever let God show you what you really think about who God says you are? And I didn't get one yes, because I know what the answer is. We have this tendency to think that our thought process has nothing to do with the manifestation. And what God has been showing me is it very much does. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And when he showed me that one verse, and I went, oh my God, I read that a million times, and it just always sounds so Shakespearean to me, but I never thought it through. So here's my question. What do you really believe about who God said you are? Stop that. Stop all that noise while Jesus is giving us the word. What do you really think about who you are? What do you think if in your heart? The image that we project to people to make them believe we feel something is not what we really think about ourselves in our heart. Ooh, you look like you're in a daze right now. Did I awaken something right here? Is it boring or you're like really like this got your brain thinking? Now, I want you to think, because people say to you, never mind, it's all about the spirit, it's the spirit. It's like, yeah, but then why is the scripture saying as a man thinketh in his heart? That's what he is. Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So eventually you're going to really say what you really think. What's that saying? A drunk mind speaks a drunk mouth speaks a sober mind, something like that? No, what he's saying is what's really in you comes out. Your inhibitors are gone, and what you didn't really want to say actually comes out your mouth. So I've had people say things to me and say, well, I'm sorry because I was drunk. I didn't mean it. I was like, no, you meant it. You just didn't mean for it to get out, and it did. You meant it. You just didn't mean for it to get out. You didn't mean for me to hear it. But you meant it. So, if that's so crucial, then do we need to stop paying attention to what we think instead of trying to be so spiritual and try to throw scriptures on top of everything but not deal with what we really think? If I ask everybody in this room right now to tell me what you really thought about a situation, you would tell me what you think you're supposed to say as Christians. Unfortunately, that's not what's going to manifest. So this wasn't the message today, but I started here, so let me just finish it up on this point. God has been really, through the course of this past week, showing me what I think. Esther, you asked me on the phone yesterday, how did you get to the place where, like I said, about the house, my new house, I am more sure about this than I was buying my last car. I'm more sure about this than I was building the addition on my present house. It's like when I think about it, which I do daily, I think I dream about it every night. And I see myself there. I can go back to, are you listening to me? Times that God spoke something or a word was spoken over me and I heard it and I said yes and I got excited and I jumped up and down and said hallelujah. And then the moment the first wind blew, I was questioning the validity of that word. I wouldn't say it out loud because I'm not supposed to confess that. I'm speaking to you, aren't I, Empy? I wouldn't say it out loud. I would just say, no, I don't receive that. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. Jesus, I don't receive that. I don't receive that. Hallelujah. No, it's mine. Indeed, mine. Ah, still here. Mine. But never deal with what's really in my heart and what I really think. Never expose it to the light so it can be gutted out, so that it can be surgically removed, so that now when I say mine, I don't have to go mine. So no, it is. It's mine. It's so. I know it. But I had to confront how I felt about it, what I really believe. I had to let God walk me through the process of being free from the fears of failure. Can we have this conversation? How many will be honest and come to the realization that you know you're confessing right and you're saying right, but the fears of failure still have a grip in the big areas that you know God has called you to? Let me see. Thank you for your honesty. See? But that's how you get free. No, you don't have to confess that. It's negative. That's called denial. How many of you have been taught? No, you can't. If you have a fear, you can't even speak on it. You've heard that. Like, no, you don't even speak it. Okay, well, we talked about this before, but Peter on the water. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. That's the word of God spoken. Come. Straight from the mouth of Jesus. And he gets out and he begins to walk on the water. And then the winds and the storms begin to blow, and what he really believes in his heart begins to manifest itself. And he immediately begins to sink. But he doesn't sink, he begins to. I like to point that out. There's no such thing as beginning to sink on water. It's so that means the word come from Jesus had so much power and validity that even in his doubting, he still started to go down slowly, but it still was supporting him even in his fluctuation. And his response was what? Remember what Peter said? I don't receive this. I believe I'm walking. Is that what he said? What did he say? Come on, anybody know? It wasn't a faith statement. Lord, save me. I'm perishing. Well, according to church belief, he should have drowned. He was saying, so be it. Perish it is. You spoke it, you receive it. God looked past the I'm perishing and heard the Lord save me. You got it? He looked past the negative because he asked for help. Church folk are being conditioned not to ask for help. Just say the right thing. How do you get delivered if you don't ask God for help? So people will point out, you can't say negative. Well, he said, I'm perishing. But if he had just said, I'm perishing, he probably would have. But he said, Lord, help me, I'm perishing. He was acknowledging that his faith really wasn't what he thought it was. And as a result, he was sinking. And he asked God, who is the God I help, Jehovah Jireh, to help him. And the scripture said, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. He didn't go, say it again. You had some doubt in there. Say it again. Rephrase that. Excuse me, Jesus. I believe I receive your help. Okay, there we go. Because he responds to your heart, not to your religion. He responds to this, help me, Lord, is a cry of faith. For you to say, Lord, help me, that means you've accepted that he will help you. A lot of people perish in Christianity because they make confessions, but they don't believe what they're even confessing, and they don't even believe that in the time of their failure, God will help. Did I lose anybody? You know when you're praying for God to help you in certain things that you really don't believe he's going to. You know you don't. You know the things that you expect him to show up, but you know the things you absolutely do not expect him to show up. And if he does, you're shocked. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I didn't know what I was going to do. Ooh, and just, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Right, you didn't even think God was going to show up. You were so shocked he showed up, you don't know what to do with yourself. No, I was just grateful. No, you were grateful, but you were also amazed. That's the part. You were amazed. You didn't think he was going to, and you're blown away that he did. Now, we need to fix that. We need to be in this season real about that. And that's what I've been walking through this week. God said to me, don't tell me what you're supposed to say. Don't tell me what you claim by faith. Tell me where your heart really is so that I can heal it and take you to where I need you to be. There's the right Christian thing to say, but you are not taking the time to submit yourself to the surgery to be delivered. And I can think of how many years of my life I went around saying the thing that I needed to say without having the heart to believe the thing I was saying. You caught that? Think about that a minute, because I know I'm hitting you right at home. Well, it hasn't manifested because it ain't yet God's time. It hasn't manifested yet because you haven't really submitted yourself to have God deal with you in an area that you really don't believe it. We should come, always be grateful. Oh, I can see the looks on your face. I'm God, you doing your thing today. Go ahead. Go on, Jesus. I've been really thinking about how much I don't believe what I believe. I've been thinking about how much I think I should believe something in terms of logically believe or emotionally believe, but still never had my heart submitted to believe it. Because I didn't think my thoughts were important. Have you ever rebuked something and it come back? And I gave that to the Lord. Hallelujah. No longer my problem. I gave it to Jesus. And the phone rang and you right back where you started. What happens with that? You never submitted your thought process to God. You don't want to talk to God about that. That's ugly. That's bad. I don't want to look at myself that way. So pretending that you're something else delivers you? I confessed it. Okay? Okay. So according to that logic and that theory, if you spend the next 6 months confessing you can fly, you should be able to jump off a roof. According to that logic. And God's going to honor that. No. No. There's a flow that God has. And we walk in that flow not by confessing him into submission, but by submitting to his confession. I'm not going to even go into today's message. I'm going to finish this up and then we're going to call it a day. I want to open the floor to questions. And I want to answer those questions. Because I can see from the look on your face, some of you are really hearing something and being challenged by what you heard. And may have questions to what the steps are for you to see that next level in this area. So if you have a question, now is the time to ask it. Don't feel uncomfortable. Somebody else has the same question you have. I want to see a hand. I can feel your guy. Like, what are you, prideful? Prideful? Ask the question. Yes, Jericho. So your question is, right, what do I actually believe? That is a question. No, that's a good question. Because now you're going to go to God and say to God, I know what I'm supposed to say, and I know what I believe I'm supposed to believe. But what do I really believe? And that's a good question, and that's a good thing to put on the floor, because that's where everybody's going to have to go back to. What do I really believe? I know what you spoke over me. I know what I've accepted to be the truth. It's got to be. But what do I really believe about that? Even right now and at this point in my life, what do I really believe? Because there's things I never totally let go of my belief in my life. But I never really dealt with the doubts that kept me from receiving it. I thought my confession was enough. Yvonne, you had your hand up? Yeah. So let me just say that into the mic because people can't hear you. How do you separate your personal feelings from what is actually real or what you actually believe? Continue. What else was you going to say? I love what you just said. So you said you were dealing with some situations you felt strong about. And once you separated yourself from those feelings, what was real came in and overpowered feelings. Whoo! If we could all get that right there. I did a message not that, well, long time ago probably. And I probably, brought it up at certain times in different messages. What you just talked about is the difference between facts and truth. People call facts truth. Facts are not truth. And people will argue, yes, it is. No, it's not. Because truth is consistent. Facts can change. Facts can change. So, and then facts are different based on who's looking at it. The glass is half empty. The glass is half full. It's both true to the person who calls it true. But it's really facts. Truth is consistent. It doesn't move. Now, this is the thing that got to me, and this was the revelation I came to. Fact. If my body is sick, and I'm having symptoms, all of these kind of things, let's use take a fact. Got dizzy, passed out a couple of years ago. I remember how long ago it was now. Went to the doctor. Doc said, you got high blood pressure. Fact. Put me on the machine. Machine showed it. It's up there. Fact. You got to take medication to bring that down. Fact. You have to take the medication probably for the rest of your life. Fact. Usually once people get high blood pressure, that stays with them. These are the facts. Went before the throne. Got some instruction from God. Changed how I eat. Wouldn't take his drugs. Went back to the doctor later. No more high blood pressure. Haven't had it since. So what happened? The truth, God's word, superseded fact and nullified fact. Fact has to do with feelings. It has to do with logic. It has to do with emotion. It has to do with your view of it. It has to do with everything else. But truth, what you said, superseded fact. The truth is consistent. And once you say, I know what the facts are. But that's why you have scriptures like, whose report shall you believe? Right? He said, there are two reports. And both reports are strong in validity. But only one of them is true. But whichever one you choose becomes true. Well, you know, it's hard out here. It's tough out here. People say that to me all the time. I'm like, no, it ain't. Yeah, you know, trying to get by. You know how hard it is for us. I'm like, no. I can remember a time in my life when I thought like you, and it was like that. But I ain't had it hard for 25 years. I don't know what that means. Sheldon talked about when he said, you know, problem broke. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't speak broke. I don't know that word. You just said a curse. I don't know what that is. Don't ever use that word in my. I'd rather you say a real bad word than say that. Don't say broke. I refuse to speak that over myself. Or around me. How many of you are in that place right now that you bear witness with that? Like, yeah, no, I don't let nobody talk broke around me. Like, you know, especially if they try to include you. Well, you know how it is. No, I don't. I just feel uncomfortable. So I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. I don't care if they feel uncomfortable. You know, where the rich get richer and the poor get poor. I say, well, I guess I'm just going to keep getting richer then. Amen. Hallelujah. One person got upset with me, said, well, I guess everybody ain't rich like you. I said, I guess they're not. Must be nice. It is. And they just turned and huffed and walked away from me with their poverty. And I was good with that. As long as they ain't touch my stuff, I was good. Like, yeah, so somebody choose to be broke, damn poor in spirit or whatever in life. You know, there's some people that complain about everything. No matter what's going good, they got to find something wrong with it. It's just that's a poor spirit person. And no matter what you put in front of them, they will find a way to find something wrong with it. They'll take a blessing if you bring it to them, and they will turn it into poop. That's why he said, do not cast your pearls amongst the swine, for they'll trample it under feet and turn and rend you and bite you. Don't give something that's holy to the dogs. All this is process. So yes, you submitted to truth, and truth overrode fact, and fact had to give way to truth. It always works that way. It never works any way different. Questions? Yes, Mike.
This is a wondering question.
A wondering question?
A wondering question.
Okay.
You know, it's like I wonder, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of my questions for God.
Okay.
Okay. And my question is, how much happens because I believe God versus
how much happened when you believed God for it versus how much happened because you fainted?
Not because.
I'm trying to understand it.
Because I'm even trying to formulate the question in a way that makes sense. I sometimes wonder.
Do you mean how much happens in spite of your faith?
Yes. That's the same thing. It's the same thing. I think it went in spite of my faith because that was the word that I had to.
Got you. Okay, let's talk about.
Sometimes I wonder how much do I affect
the move of God or the change? Right, okay. Here's a wonderful reality that I had to come to in my walk, and every day I'm still coming to it. All the promises of God are yea and amen. He's not mindful to forget your good works. You know, all these good scriptures. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Scriptures like that. This would be my take. You could take it or leave it. Sometime when we faint, we get out the way. And let me explain what I mean by that. When you fainted, did you throw it away and say, it's done, it's never happening? Or you just say, I'm tired, I give up, I'm not doing it no more. See, there it is. So you didn't, like Abraham, that man fainted. Then he decided, let me help God. Let me get Hagar pregnant and let me help God, because God obviously needs my help to make this happen. And then when God finally got him quiet, 21 years later, said, listen, dude, it's going to be your wife, and I'm going to do this. Listen to what I'm about to say. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come, and we're going to have this last sacrifice. And I want you to cut the offering and spread it out, some to the left, some to the right. And I'm going to walk through the offering with you. And he's like, yes. And then God said, poof, and put him to sleep and walk through without him. And God said, I'll finish the covenant without your involvement. Because God's mercy and love for us is to see everything he spoke over us come to pass. We need to get past this belief that we got to convince God to bless us. He spoke it over you because he wants you to have it. If you could really come to that realization, this goes back to how we think. When I came to the realization, God, you want me to have the stuff more than I want it. Why am I trying to get my junk lined up to get you to try to provoke you? See how good I am, God? Where are you? And he's like, you know, just go to sleep somewhere. Confess what I told you to confess, and then go get out the way. Go do something. Go find something else to do because you're just too busy. Your hands are just too into everything. Because I'm not going to do it that way anyway. So in your fainting, meaning your human exhaustion, and then you give up, but you don't throw it away, you just give up your efforts. Sometimes I've seen it more than sometimes, most times, God's like, good. Now I can do what I need to do. So here's my thing. The other side of that is this. God, let me participate correctly. I want to be a part of the process. I don't want to become this burden that you got to keep putting me to sleep every time you need to do something. So help me not interrupt what you're doing and be a part of the process. Because that's why he walked and talked and fellowship with Adam and the Kula. He wants to fellowship with me. I don't want to keep putting God in a place where he got to keep knocking me out. Or he got to keep sending adverse situations to me just to move me or distract me so he can do what he wants to do. We talk about it, the permissive will versus his perfect will. I've spent a lot of time in his permissive will. I'm trying to break those averages. I mean, I want to at least know I got at least a good 75 perfect will, 25 permissive. You know, I'm trying to get that balance, that scale a little tipped a little more this way. Because his promises are his promises, and he doesn't break them. And you can shun his promises for 50 years. And on year 51, decide, he'll pick it up like you never missed a step. He'll fulfill his purpose. I've been watching what's been happening with me and looking at what God has been doing with my life in amazement, because I've been comparing it to the Bible people. Joseph got a promise when he was a child. He didn't see it till he was grown, had kids. It's a lot of years. David got a promise. Even after he got in the promise, he still kept messing it up. It took him years before he stopped messing and screwing up everything. Solomon screwed it up all the way through. But he had enough wisdom to hold on to that truth, and eventually he came to the realization, you know what? All this stuff I'm doing is vanity. This is foolishness. Here's the simple truth. Just listen to God. And that way, at the end of the day, that's what he came to. Just with all your riches and all your gold and all your whatever, just obey God. It's just easier. So yes, there is a time that you have to run out of you so that God can do what he wants to do without your interference. Yes, Ariel. Absolutely. I talked about that earlier, about your thought process, how other people influence your thought process with their thought processes, thereby hindering your flow. Absolutely. So you got to know what you think, and you also got to know what the people around you think. And if you have those people around you feeding your think, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You can't have them around you speaking death and just be comfortable with them being around you because they're your friend, and then not expect the death that they speak not to seep into your spirit. And when you and I first reconnected, I kept saying to you, you know, well, due respect, you can't tell me you believe this. You can't sleep with dogs and not get fleas. You know, it's yeah, you're around it and you know what you believe, but they are eroding away. So now your truth was still there. You knew God was a healer. You knew God did miracles. But the surroundings begin to feed into your soul. Has God really said, though? But does he really? Right, it starts to erode it. Do you really believe what you say? And all of a sudden, you start saying, I know I believe, but, and that's where that I believe, help my belief starts to come in. You start to come to a realization that I do, but how many believe God's word? You're believing. But what you need to understand is there's your unbelief that has to be dealt with. It has to be challenged. And in refusing to acknowledge is not deliverance. I heard Joyce Meyer say one time, she was at a Christian bookstore and she was getting something, and the woman was sniffling and blowing her nose. She coughed or something, and Joyce Meyer said to her, you got a cold? Now, she don't know, the woman may want to pray with her or whatever, but Joyce Meyer just said to her, you have a cold. She said, I don't receive that. And George Meyer said, you look like you already have. You look like you already have. But that fake denial makes us think that we're walking in some kind of holiness. It's plastic Christianity. It doesn't stand up against the wiles of the enemy because there's no real foundation in it. It's plastic surgery Christianity. You know, it's like this mask you stick on your face, but the enemy knows what you look like under there. So, it's important, yes, that the people that are around me don't infect or poison who God has called me to be. And I believe even in the situation, God will give you a resolve around certain people. Like, you on a certain job and you can't just get away. If you believe God, say, God, I need you to guard my spirit. I've looked at what I believe and I look at this effect. God will put a grace around you where it won't get through. I've seen it. God, that's like, yeah, y'all can say what y'all want to say. Y'all can believe what y'all want to believe. I remember when we had nothing and I was confessing we're going to get a house. And everybody, family and friends and whatever, and wife's family was saying whatever they were saying. I knew what I heard. And at that point, I had nothing else. So it wasn't, it was a little different from where you were, Mike, where I didn't faint, but I definitely was put in a place that I had nothing to add. And so all I could do at that point is wait and watch. And boy, did he come through. So that, Angie said when she was around her family recently, I seemed to come up a bit. But Aunt Pearl, who's my favorite aunt from Angela's side, always talks about every time. I don't think I ever see her where she doesn't bring up, I thought you were crazy. But you trusted God. And you were right. And it's now made her say, I want to believe God like that. And I want to see God move like that. So it is a process. So I want to wrap it here. Please. Stop being plastic with your Christianity. Go to the doctor. Let him show you what needs to be removed. I'm talking about the doctor. Let him show you what needs to be removed. And don't be ashamed of it. Remember I said, what was it, last week before? I let God in my mess, the dirtiest parts of me now. I'm like, God, I don't want to be in anything. I don't want anything that I'm functioning in my life. If I make my bed in hell, you're with me. I want you to be a part of even the ugliest parts of me that I don't even want to acknowledge. Because I don't want to be hidden from you anywhere. I want to be seen so that I can be cleansed. And you won't be cleansed if you're not seen. And God is never going to force his view on you. You have to surrender to it. So if it embarrasses you, if it shames you, whatever you feel about it, he's there anyway. Just let him in. He sees it anyway. Just invite him in. You understand what I'm saying? Just do it. I'll tell you, if anybody has another question before I wrap up, I'm going to wrap up after this. All questions were answered? Okay, there we go. Edwards. A simple definition of surrender. What does surrender look like? We can make it deep and heavy because we usually think of surrender. We think about this big war and the Roman soldiers versus whatever, and they all come together and clash. And after 50,000 people are dead, then the king says, "I surrender," or surrendering to the police and getting dragged off. And right, we always put this image in our mind, especially our color. I have to be careful. They explain surrender. You ever surrender to a song? Surrender to a song. See, you know what I'm talking about. Mike, you got to know what I'm talking about. No? You ever tried in worship to sing and it just wasn't happening? And then you just surrendered, and all of a sudden it just flowed out. It didn't have to be a church song. It could have been in one of your musicals or whatever. And you just surrendered, and all of a sudden it just flowed. You ever been trying to figure out something or work through anything? Devon just talked about it. He surrendered to the thought of the truth. Ignored his feelings. Surrender is not something you have to do under duress. You ever surrender to a pool? You just get back in one of them rave chairs and you just lay back, just let it float you around and one of them floaty things. You don't swim? Oh, there you go. So, okay, what have you surrendered to? Some guy? I mean, it's just weird, but it's real. It ain't nobody forced you. It's of your free will. You surrendered. Let's do this. Now, I don't want to do that. I'm a good Christian woman. You sure? Maybe a little. That's surrender. It's not a fight. It's not somebody grabbing you in a headlock and dragging you away. It's deciding, I'm just going to relax and I'm just going to go with this. Surrendering to God is just that. You know what, Daddy? You got me. I know you got me. Why am I trying to fight and wrestle and figure this out? I'm just going to relax and let you take me where you want to take me. I'm going to wind up there anyway, so I might as well just go ahead and just get in the boat. I explained it to my wife this way a couple of days ago. God showed this to me. God showed me a vision years ago, and it still took me a long time to get it. Everything I was doing was going just in circles, not right, just not working out. Not always bad, not always good. And I went to prayer, because I was a young Christian, and God showed me myself in a boat. And I was doing this, rowing the boat. Because I didn't know what I was doing. I was really just making the boat. Right, yeah, I was doing this. Boat turning around. Then when I tried to roll, the waves was just pushing and knocking me around and just wasn't getting anywhere. I was getting frustrated. Surrender. Got frustrated. Fainted. And I'm in this boat and I'm crying to God. And I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, throw your oars overboard and put up your sail. Throw your oars overboard and put up your sail. And then I heard the scripture, which I looked up after that. The Holy Spirit is like a wind, and it goes where it wills. Where it goes, you cannot tell, and where it comes from, you cannot tell. And when I thought of that scripture, and what he was saying to me was, if you put the sail up, the Holy Spirit will take you where you need to go. But as long as you got your oars in the water, you're fighting against the direction of the wind, which is the Holy Spirit. So surrender for me was throwing the oars over. Now, throwing the oars over is not easy or comfortable because it's a total surrender of your will. You no longer have control. So my thought was, well, can I just put the oars down in the boat so when the wind stopped blowing, I could pick the game back up? He said, no, I need you to throw the oars overboard where you're totally dependent or surrendered to the wind of my spirit. I wish I could say I received the hallelujah and my life changed. But it didn't, because it took me years to understand and believe what I thought about God's provision in different areas of my life. I knew in the area of health he would heal me, but I really didn't think in the area of prosperity he would ever answer, because I had been poor my whole life. Now, you can't get me to think about being in lack. It's been over 25 years, I've never missed anything or been late on a payment. And I have 3 properties. And it's weird, I said to my wife the other day, I said, you know, it's funny. And all 3 of the properties I either use for a business or live in, meaning I don't even have tenants that are paying the bills. Every month, I have to come up with it. And I never have to come up with it, because he always does. Exceedingly, abundantly, and in advance. You understand what I'm saying? So now with that said, have a seat. Have a seat. Thank you. With that said, surrender is just as simple as this. You know what you're doing. I trust you. And so I'm comfortable, and I'll let go. I'll relax and let you take the wheel. Let you handle it. Let you figure it out. Let you tell me what's best, because you know. Where the thought process comes in is in dealing with the thought processes for this reason only. If you don't deal with the thought process, when you surrender, you immediately be trying to reach in the water and pull the oars back in the boat. Or you tie a string to them just in case. And that's when you got to look at, but how do you really believe he's a provider in this area? Do you really believe he's a provider? And if you do, you can surrender. And if you can't surrender, then you need to let him show you your thought process. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And we praise you today for your spirit, for your truth, your goodness. We ask that you lead us by your spirit into all truth. And we thank you that our hearts are surrendered to what you've called us to in this season and time. Bless you, Lord, for who you are and what you're doing on our behalf. And we decide as this year ends to be totally surrendered to the leading of your spirit. And we thank you for it. In the name of our Savior Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen and amen.